So, you know my name. Good. Because I know everything about you. Your darkest secret. Your ultimate weakness. I know you are Bruce Wayne.
Apparently you dress up as, well, there's these people.
God. Woo, half dollar.
Oh yeah.
To a dime.
What's going on, everybody? This is podcast number 8, and this is the Batman edition. Whoa!
Hooray!
It's been a long time coming, but we're finally here, aren't we, Andrew?
Oh, yeah.
So, me and Andrew are obviously both extremely excited for Arkham City next week, so I want to try to make this as good as we can. We're going to go all out. This one might go on a while, but should be chock full of goodness.
And it shall.
So yeah, definitely look for a Batman twist on the show, but there is still plenty of stuff to talk about. We'll do our familiar segments, some Mass Effect 3 news, actually. Little tidbits here and there, but the rest all should probably be Batman-centric, even the mailbag. But it should be pretty familiar. Andrew, you ready?
Oh yeah, ready as I'll ever be.
All right, let's dive right into the what are you playing. Andrew, my friend, what have you been playing?
Well, I can't say I've been playing anything relatively new for the past little while, but I think a lot of my time before Arkham City has been tied up in Resident Evil 4 HD.
Yeah, we last time we did a podcast, I just bought it, and since then I've beaten it all the way through, played it a little bit more, and did the separate ways and all. I believe you've done the same. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, final verdict, is it as good as we remember? What did you think of the game?
Honestly, yeah, I do think it was as good as we remember. I think separate. This was the first time I played the PS2 PC type of version where it had separate ways added mm-hmm. into it. And changed up a bit. And, I mean, I thought they were okay. There are some things I sort of didn't like, or really more sort of didn't get. Like, I know in Separate Ways, if you beat Assignment Ada, you get a Chicago typewriter in Separate Ways, but only on your second playthrough. And I never got why anyone would want that to play through it again after you've already beaten it.
Well, I think it's the same principle as playing through. No, you can't see. You'll have to play through the campaign again with it, and I guess the idea is just to go through it honest once. Still, though, I mean, what did you think about Separate Ways? Because I hadn't played in a long time, but like I said, first time playing it, I think it's pretty cool. I like the, just to go ahead, even though we're not even to it yet, I hope that's kind of what they do with Arkham City. I hope Catwoman things, I believe a good first instance is, you know, when you're trying to do that puzzle to get in the church as Ada at the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
And the idea is she got it first, and then you have to place something down that thing, and when you go back through as Leon, that little jewel she places there is what you get. So I hope like Arkham City does that with Catwoman. Maybe you have, you play a flashback as Catwoman, and then when you get there as Batman, she's changed something or done something. I like that through that Separate Ways. I thought that was kind of neat how they did that.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. There was one little thing I didn't like where if you play through the entire game, you spend 18 or so hours beating the main campaign, and then you go into Separate Ways, and you're playing all this familiar stuff over again, but it's changed up, so you start getting a bit disoriented. It was a bit strange, maybe going into the church section or going through the tunnel that leads up to there. I wouldn't expect any zombie or any parasite guys to be there because, they're not there with Leon, so I'm just running through full tilt, yep. And of course, run around a corner, and there they are.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say about it is Separate Ways is pretty hard. They made the zombies a lot tougher, and it's not like she's some kind of powerhouse. She's pretty weak, and, I mean, your weapons aren't that special. It's pretty tough sometimes.
Oh, yeah. But my only other complaint is that for at least Resident Evil 4 HD, or for the Xbox Live, is that they changed professional mode where you can't bring any of your weapons from your old playthrough into it. That's my only other gripe.
Are you sure that that's only Xbox? I always thought that was the way it was on the GameCube. I don't know if I've ever beat it on professional GameCube.
I think on the GameCube, from what I remember, I haven't played it in years, but from what I remember, professional mode wasn't too hard because I felt like you could bring over any of your stuff, like your infinite rocket or any of your high souped up, tuned up guns. You could take that right into professional mode and just breeze through it with that. But I think from what I remember, it seems like they changed it for HD, or at least maybe for the PS2 or whatever, so that professional mode is, once again, hard and professional.
Well, that is the name of the game. One last thing before we move on. Controls, I know we both griped about them last time, but did you find yourself getting used to them?
Yeah, I did find myself getting used to it. There were a couple of times where I was thinking, really wish they would have had the right analog stick, but...
Mostly on those shooting ranges.
Oh, yeah. That
puts that left thumb to the test.
Actually, I think it puts Leon's Parkinson's problem to the test.
Yeah, really. Also puts my patience to the test. That's awful. Overall, though, I think, like we touched on earlier, but I was really surprised. I mean, it was one of my favorite games for the longest time, and it's still a really good game.
Oh, yeah. It's like leaving a good game out for a little while, then going back and playing through it after forgetting a lot of things that happened in there, and just going back through it and being reminded how good it was.
Exactly. All right, anything else you've been playing?
I have been playing Gears of War 3 with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
We, or as I like to call it, Pros of War 3.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it does seem like it had a very short lifespan on the...
Seems like the player base is dying pretty quick.
Yeah, which is very odd, seeing as how it's like the biggest pre-ordered game out there now.
Yeah, I think you find out there's a lot of people, multiplayer time, they're more excited for Battlefield and Call of Duty. I think that's what the people want to play. And another thing I want to say about Gears 3, because there's really not much to say, we talked about it last week, but they did tweak the game some yesterday, and... Apparently, people are very upset about the sawed-off. I never really... I mean, it didn't seem any different to me last night, but I don't know. I don't like pandering to complaining fans when it comes to multiplayer games. I believe Call of Duty Black Ops is famous for this because it's just become such a mess because everybody's complaining about everything, and you can't satisfy everyone. And I know they're trying to keep the players to keep playing it. You can't please everyone. Just leave the game as it is. That's why we had a beta test. That's why the game came out 7 months later than it should have. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
All right, so Gears, we've talked about it. What else have you been playing?
I just beat Batman Arkham Asylum Game of the Year. Thanks to you, with help to you, I beat it 1,000 out of 1,000, cleared it 100%, and I'm ready and waiting in the wings for Arkham City.
Laid it to rest.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, Arkham Asylum has been put to sleep. You know, the loving dog that I've had for years has finally been having the peaceful way to go.
Yeah, I still need to, I have your copy of the original one, and talk about, like, going 1,000 out of 1,000. I gotta beat it on hard, and I will probably do that this weekend to get myself in the Batman mood. But, as for me, same game, we talked about Resident Evil 4 Gears, but, also beat X-Men Destiny. I know I talked about that last time. Terrible game. I don't know if it was just so much because Batman's close, and I kind of think I want a little more out of a superhero game. But, I mean, I like the X-Men, and that game's bad. The concept, good. Everything else, terrible. Probably the worst game I've beaten since Duke Nukem Forever, easily.
Wow, yeah. that's a bold claim.
It might be worse than Duke Nukem Forever. Slow down, Logan, slow down.
We don't want to say things we can't take back.
But, yeah, it was pretty terrible. You know, you see all those reviews, and you think, well, I like the X-Men. Maybe I look past that, but no, it is that bad.
I do have to ask, how much of the original X-Men, or the people who are actually, you know, main staple characters in the series, how much of them appear in the game, or how much of it is centralized on these new mutants that you can choose?
Well, that's the whole thing, is there these new mutants I thought maybe would kind of be fleshed out, but you just pick one and then you pick a power, and there's really nothing to them. There's no backstory, really. It's very simple. And as for X, I mean, a lot of X-Men are there. I mean, Cyclops there, Wolverine, you know, Magneto, Juggernaut, just some of the main ones you think of first. I mean, clearly they're lacking, like, some big ones. Storm wasn't in there, Rogue, just off the top of my head. But the whole idea is picking the side, who's right, which I think is a great idea for a game, because X-Men's kind of ambiguous. You know, it's not like Batman. Batman's good, Joker's bad. There's not much ambiguity in there. You know, Catwoman might be one of the few things, like, it's, you know, good or bad. But I like the idea, but they executed it terribly. I'd like to see someone, just not Silicon Knights, I'd like to see someone try that again. I think it could be done well, but everything about it was just bad. Voice acting, graphics, gameplay, story, and it's just all... It was very eh.
Very eh, he says.
Also, Gamefly Dark Souls, sequel to Demon's Souls. Want to try that one out.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Like to hear not, about that one.
Not good.
Not good. Not good, you say.
Well, it's one of those things that... It's a game I can fully understand why people like it, but I have no problem admitting it's not for me. The first game, like I said, is a PS3 game, and sometimes I don't give this a fair shake just because I don't like playing on the PS3. I prefer to play on Xbox or somewhere I can talk to my friends. Mm-hmm. So I played it, and yeah, it's hard, and I understand, you know, it's frustrating, and it's a bit too frustrating for me, but that's not why, I'm not saying it's too hard, that's not why I don't like it. I just think it puts so many ideas, like, hard, you know, the hardcore nature of it, which some people will love, and I understand it. That rude, kind of unforgiving thing, with, you know, and then just complicated stat. A lot of people complain about games being oversimplified, which I can understand, but I believe there's such a thing as overcomplicating things, and that is an overly complicated game. A lot of just meaningless stats, just a kind of a really hardcore role-playing experience, and it sacrifices things like aesthetics, which, you know, gameplay goes first, I admit, but it's just, I guess at the end of the day, I had to say, maybe I'm not just that hardcore of a gamer, because I can't get into that. Like, Skyrim's going to be a bit simpler, and I'm going to prefer to explore that. And another thing I thought, hand-holding, people complain about, you know, a game holding your hand. Fable gets huge just dissing, because that breadcrumb trail is what they call it or whatever that shows you where to go.
Oh, yeah.
Demon's Souls has none of that, and you can just take a wrong turn at any step of the game and be up to your ass in enemies that you have no chance fighting. And it's just a bunch of beginner's traps, and I couldn't put forth the time into it to get an enjoyment out of it. And I can't say that, you know, it's a terrible game, but I can certainly say that it is not for me, nor do I think it's for any of my friends, and I would never recommend it.
I do have to ask, how unforgiving is it on, like, dying or things like that?
Well, it's, think of it, checkpoint, but let's give me a game as example. How about Resident Evil 4? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you start off at the beginning and you have to make it to Ashley. Okay, so the beginning of the game all the way to Ashley.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, that wouldn't be too hard, but let's say if you die at any point, you go back to the very beginning and lose everything you collected.
Really?
Yeah, you lose all your progress, and the only way to get some of it back is to go back to where you died. It's just unforgiving. It's not good. It's not my style.
It's not enjoyment, it's punishment.
Yeah, if there's no trial and error fun way, like I said, like, I'm not going to act like I'm not... I like that sort of stuff, like Mega Man stuff. The thrill of conquering that, the classic feel of games of trying till you succeed, I love that, but that game doesn't have that for me. It's more, like I said, just punishment, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, wouldn't recommend it. I'd say wait for Skyrim, but if someone walked at me and said, you're crazy, I love that game, I could understand that too.
Well, I guess it sounds like I dodged a bullet not checking out Destiny or Dark Souls.
I'd say so. All right, enough about what we've been playing. Time to dig right into the meat, baby. And I know we've always started this off with Arkham City, but guess what? That game's coming.
Yeah, we can't this time.
We got a whole podcast to talk about that. So it's been a while since we've talked about my game, Mass Effect 3, and believe it or not, they have actually released some news, some big news about it. Andrew, what was this big news?
I believe it was... Multiplayer being confirmed for Mass Effect 3.
On again, off again rumor. I mean, since the game was announced about a year ago, that they always said multiplayer was in it, and BioWare never denied it, but it turns out it's true. There is multiplayer.
Right, and this is not deathmatch multiplayer, but co-op, like a four-person.
Yeah. I'll go into a little bit what I know about it. It's four-person, and it's pretty much Horde, basically, is what I understand. You fight waves of Cerberus troops, which doesn't make sense to me. The interesting part, and I'll get back to the core game in a second, but they haven't elaborated on this, and all we know is called Galaxy at War. And the idea is, by participating in this, and they say there's other applications, not just multiplayer, by participating in this, you can increase what they call galactic readiness, and essentially help yourself in the single-player campaign get a better ending by playing multiplayer, which, I guess for newcomers, is kind of cool. It kind of miffs me as a, you know, mainstay, but still... They haven't explained that much, but what you look at is Horde, four-player co-op, but you get to create your own character, any species that would work, I should say. I guess if you can imagine a party member of that species, you could probably play as them, male or female. You basically make your own Mass Effect. You can name them, pick their class. So I think that's cool enough. I hate that you can't play as characters that you like from the game, like Garrus or somebody, but from what I understand, they'll play differently. Krogans have a charge and stuff. Really not much is known about how it's going to work in the sense of team dynamics. You know, maybe you can have people of what I understand, you can have like four soldiers if you wanted to, but I don't know if you'll need to, you know, kind of, someone needs to fill roles to make it hard or easier on the team. I'm not sure. They haven't said much, but that's what we know. Four-player co-op, make your own character, fight Cerberus and waves, like Horde mode. Andrew, how do you feel about this?
Honestly, I feel fine with it. I think it's going to add a lot if they do it right. If it's, I know you said another actual company or another developer is actually working on that multiplayer.
Yeah, it's a new BioWare studio in Montreal. I mean, they say they have the same leadership as in the Casey Hudson guy, you know, the same producers and all, but it's a totally different team across the country that's doing it.
Yeah, as long as they work together, as long as information is given back and forth and these guys collaborate, then I think it should work. It should work well to a group of friends who all love Mass Effect and so who can all get together and play through Mass Effect. Although I don't know how it's going to work on that whole, it's supposed to help your single play experience. Didn't they also say that even if you don't do this, you can still get the optimal ending?
That's what they said. So I don't mean if, like I said, I'd like to think someone who's played all three games, you know, I will play, me and you, that we should be able to get the best ending just because we've played them all. We've done all these things. I don't understand what they mean by that, but they haven't explained that fully yet. We just pretty much know. That's supposed to be a separate mode, that Galaxy at War. They said they would reveal that at a later date, but we pretty much just know about the co-op, and even then we don't know a ton. But I don't know how I feel about it. I like the idea. I just prefer it if it was more about filling roles. I understand. I like that they're giving them freedom if everybody wants to play as a soldier, but I like the idea that even in depth, if you use some of the stuff from the lore, let's say maybe if you don't need a biotic on the team, but if you wanted a biotic on the team, that I think it makes sense that, you know, Asari, if you had an Asari carrier, they were better at biotics, or a Solaire, maybe they're better at tech stuff. Stuff like, you know, Krogans would have more health. I hope they bring stuff like that into it so you can think about how you want to play the game and how you want to help your team and shape your player to do so.
Yeah, I like that. I like the idea of, like you said, if you pick one particular thing, that helps out the team in your own way. You, as someone of whatever you picked, get to bring a little more to the table than someone else on something.
Exactly, I like the idea. Four of us, the gamer handles crews, our friends can say, as it's coming out, you think it, like, Travis will be the full-on tank, and he should have a character he wants. There should be a clear set. If you want to be the tank, kind of just run, guns blazing, shotgun, and tackling people, then you need to be this class and this kind of character. If I wanted to be the sniper, you need to be this class, this kind of character. I hope it lends itself to that, and I think that would actually give it some replayability and make it fun. Another thing I asked, I haven't seen a question or answer for, is can you have more than one character? Like a roster of them, you know? Uh-huh. This is my sniper guy. This is my biotic girl. This is my fat boy, stuff like that. Overall, I was kind of dreading it. I thought it would make the single player game worse, but it's another company doing it, or another team doing it, and I was worried that it was gonna be deathmatch, which I know cannot work just by tacking it in. But this is a good compromise. I feel like it'd be fun, and it'll add a little, like you said.
Yeah, me too. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think it should be welcomed. All right, so we got another bit of news to go through. Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. I know Chris would be happy that we're talking about this. It had quite a few reveals and leaks over the last couple of weeks. I think the first one was the manual for Skyrim got leaked, I believe.
Yep, from the printing press or something. Some guy stole it, I guess.
Stole it and scanned it online. So now you can read up on different features that are going to be in the game and different how things are done and all that kind of stuff.
I think one of the big things that came out of that were companions. I don't know if they ever talked about that before that, but apparently there will be, I think they called them henchmen or something, but not really much. I got out of the manual that I didn't already know, but that's kind of neat. I like how New Vegas did it, as much as I know you hate that game, but I thought that was a welcome addition. And I don't know, Skyrim kind of adds some companionship in that big abyss.
Now, I do hear that, I know you and Chris were talking about it before, your companions, if they do something, that can be led to you too.
Yeah, the what is it? What's the law? The hand of one is the hand of all, or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of what they said. But I don't know how that's gonna work. But maybe that adds a little dynamic to it. We talked about last night, Boone in New Vegas. You know, he'd always shoot Legion guys if he saw them, even if you weren't to talk to them. So maybe you have to be careful if you took so and so into this town, because there's no real law in New Vegas. Or, you know, Fallout in general. And there's law in the Elder Scrolls games. So maybe bringing this certain companion around this certain faction is not smart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That adds something to it. I hope it doesn't get annoying if you're all of a sudden getting thrown in jail for something you didn't know you did. That'd be kind of lame.
Yeah, that would suck. On to the next thing. Not only was the manual leaked, but the world map for the whole game was revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get a good look at it. I didn't go in depth into it, but I got a glance at it, and it did look pretty good, like pretty yeah. big, and I liked the way it looked over the whole deal in terms of where everything was.
I think they spread it out nice, and I kind of like the idea of, well, assuming, I guess you can't really tell from the map, but from what they're going on is they say that it's fewer cities, but more varied and bigger cities, and I kind of like the idea. I always liked in those games walking from city to city and, you know, running into little things here and there. I like fast travel. I think it's a great thing because sometimes you just don't feel like doing that, but I hope the world's big enough and fun enough to make me want to walk across it just for the experience.
Yeah, and like you said, I do like the idea that, you know, they're going to have these bigger towns, and so all these different guilds and things like the Fighters Guild and the Mages mm-hmm. Guild, and all, they're going to all be centralized in the same place, so you don't have to travel here, there, and yonder to do these different guild missions. You can sort of centralize it wherever yeah. you want to go.
And finally, not really big, but the achievement list did leak, and I don't know if there was too much in that we also didn't know, but still nice to see some of that stuff, like you said. Or I know you have something to say about it.
Yeah, I do have one thing I want to say about it.
Go ahead.
I do remember with the achievements of Oblivion, I remember that every single one of those things can be done with a single character. Like, you can get these achievements whether you're a fighter or a mage or, you know, this, that, or whatever. And whether you're good or bad or whatever you do, you'll get the full 1,000 out of 1,000, and you'll get all the experience of the game as any other person would, going on whatever path you want to. But with this game, from what the achievements were looking like, some of those it looked that you might not be able to get on your first playthrough, or at least until you've beaten the game and you can start free roaming and going about making your character really a jack of all trades type of deal. Like, I remember one thing was pickpocket 50 people and steal 50 items or something like that. And so if you don't build up your thief skills, then you're not going to be able to do that. So if you just pick a fighter the whole time, you're going to have to wait until you finish the game, really, and then start beefing up any thieving abilities before you can get something like that. And that was something I didn't like.
I know what you're saying, but personally, and Chris would agree with me, I think that's the whole point. That's the most fun I have with those games, is get the main quest out of the way, and now you can just be out there in this world and just kind of beef your character up. I put it Oblivion last night and just realized that nothing could touch me because I was perfect at everything. I was like a god among men. That's what makes it fun. I mean, I get what you're saying, though. I don't like games that try to make you play a certain way, and we'll see when it happens. That's for a completionist wanting to get that. You know, I can see how it's a pain in the ass, but it doesn't bother me because I think I'm going to play a thief, kind of sneaky character anyway.
Yeah. You've already made up your mind.
Yeah, but I mean, I get what you're saying. It just reminds me of Batman Arkham Asylum Challenges, or the Predator one. I don't like being told how to get something done. Mm-hmm. I feel like it should be mine to do the way I want.
Yeah, I don't think my problem with that kind of stuff is that, you know, when I pick a character or when I play a character, I really kind of go in between on that kind of deal. I don't pick one major person or another. I sort of delve a little bit into all of it. And so if there's things where you have to really beef up something, one particular skill to a high degree, I'm not going to be able to do that without a lot of work put into it. And so that just kind of goes completely against the grain of how I work, where I'll delve a little bit into the magic, but I'll also delve a little bit into the swordplay, a little bit into the archery, a little bit into the armor. And so, you know, I sort of branch out into everything, but I don't go too far into everything because I can't.
The jack of all trades,
master of none.
Well, we'll see. Definitely, I mean, I can't really look past Arkham City right now, but I guess nothing's certain. But a couple days before Skyrim comes out, we'll see what's shaping up. We'll have a huge thing for that as well. But I don't know. Quips aside about that, I think the game looks great. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's it for different game news, kind of. This is the Batman podcast. So in the Batman fashion, I'd like to shine the signal in the sky and call on our boy Chris, because I want to talk a bit about Gotham City Imposters, and he's the only one I know that's played it and enjoyed it. So let's see if we can't get a hold of him.
My name's Ryder. Jack Ryder.
The TV reporter.
Yeah. You a fan?
No.
All right, Chris, how you doing?
Pretty good.
So, we're going to bring Chris in here because we didn't get to play the game. And Chris, you're the only one I know that did and enjoyed it, at least.
Thanks to Jay,
yeah. So, first of all, I got to ask you, what platform did you play this on? Was it PC or Xbox?
I played it on PC.
Okay. For those who don't know, including me, really, can you kind of just give me an overview of how it plays, what it's like, what it looks like? I mean, I'm not really sure. I haven't seen anything of the game that really.
Well, I went in. I didn't know anything about the game. I just said, hey, something to play. And it kind of felt like, in a way, it kind of felt like Call of Duty. In a way, it kind of felt like Team Fortress. But it's a multiplayer game, and there's only one mode. There was only one mode for the beta, and it was called... I don't remember what it was called, but apparently it's kind of like a capture the flag type thing. It was kind of fun.
Was there any twist on it? Or it's just pretty much, I mean, basically, were you capturing something different?
Well,
or is it...
Yeah, it was a battery. And when it was a battery, and you got the battery from a designated location, and you put it into this mind controlling device. And whenever you basically armed the mind controlling device, the other team kind of went, I don't know really how to describe it. They kind of went crazy, and you couldn't control anything. You could only use melee, and you had to slap people to kill them.
So, does the game still go on then? Is that not the end of the game?
No, it's just like that for 20 or so seconds, and that just kind of gives you an advantage if you actually do capture the battery. Well,
oh, okay. So this mode does it pretty much just still boil down to deathmatch? Like, it's you win by points?
Yeah. It's basically deathmatch, but you just get an advantage by getting the battery.
Okay. And the real question I had after, you know, I've heard you talk about it and other people, and what I want to know is, it looks very Team Fortress, and I got a huge Team Fortress vibe from when they were talking about it, but I've heard of, you know, a lot more Call of Duty-ish. Which game does it closer resemble? Because it's somewhere in between the two, but what does it closer resemble?
When I first started, there's default classes that you can actually choose, and each class has a different set amount of health. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt Team Fortress from that, just because of the health, and there's different varying like sizes of the characters, and some can be nimble, some can be fast. I mean, some can be nimble, some can be slow and powerful, but I kind of felt, after playing it for a bit, it kind of felt more Call of Duty-ish, because you can actually customize pretty much everything, like guns, your character, everything.
Hmm. That actually is pretty cool.
I do have to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the maps, are they more Call of Duty, where it's literally it plops you down on there, and it's just everybody runs around, and it sort of is really fast-paced, or is it more like a Halo or Gears thing, where it's kind of sort of map control, and there are designated points, places that people usually like to hold, and there's things like lifts and teleports and things like that that change the game up?
Well, for imposters, there's these attachments. Well, I wouldn't say attachments, but there's like there's a thing called a glider, and you can actually glide around, and there's rollerblades that make you go faster, and you can actually use the glider on manholes that have like air coming from them or something like that, and you can actually fly with that. And about map control, it's just more like a run around type game. It's kind of fast paced.
Uh-huh. So there's no like weapon placements or things like that where you can pick up weapons in the game?
There's power ups, like health. If you're low on health, you just go over there and stand next to the health thing, and you can get health and ammo for a little bit, but there's no weapon placements.
So another question I have, going back to the whole Team Fortress kind of dynamic, is there like support characters, a medic, engineers, anything like that, or is it pretty much just kind of killing with different stats?
Well, you can be a combination of anything, because you have two main weapons that you can have. You can have a primary and a secondary, and mm-hmm. it could be rockets, and actually, for the medic class, as you just said, it's not really like a healing type thing. It's kind of like a morale booster, I guess, because you get a megaphone and you actually scream at whoever you want to heal, and you get their health gets back.
Huh. Sounds like a mishmash.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, I know it was just a beta and it wasn't even long, and you didn't get to play it even shorter amount of time, but was it fun?
Oh, it was a blast. I had a lot of fun with it.
Do you plan on picking it up?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And I do have one final question, seeing as how this is our Batman show.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from me and Andrew's perspective as Batman fans, is there any reason, based on that title alone, Gotham City, that I'd pick this up just for the sake of Batman? Or is it just simply a coat of paint over a squad-based kind of shooter?
No, I could definitely tell that there was a bunch of references in that I didn't really get because I'm not a huge Batman fan, and there's just a lot of little things in there that huge Batman fans would probably notice that I didn't. But I wouldn't say that it feels like a Batman game.
And Chris, date it comes out. I mean, I don't know if they had like an advertisement in the beta. I believe it's next year is all they've said. Winter of next year, which I assume means early next year.
Yeah, I hope so.
But there was no kind of concrete date.
Oh, no. It didn't really have a date or anything. They didn't plan anything in the beta.
Sounds pretty interesting to me. What do you think about it, Andrew?
To be honest, I don't think I'm going to be very interested in it. I'm sort of a purist on the Batman front. And if it's just kind of using that as a way to get people to look at the game, then I'm kind of going to go away from that deal.
I don't know. I think it'd be a fun shooter to play with friends.
Kind of surprised that you didn't want to pick it up, Andrew. You're the Batman connoisseur here.
Well, I mean, when I first heard about it, I was very intrigued. But when I saw that it was actually just, to me, it looked like a Team Fortress 2 or like you said, Call of Duty. And so I just really don't think anything like Batman could tie into something like that.
I think the whole point, from what we're hearing, it's not really. I don't know. It sounds like a neat enough shooter.
It's fun. It's really
it sounds
fun.
Like it catered to someone like me who doesn't really like parts of Call of Duty and doesn't really like parts of Team Fortress. Maybe something in the middle would be something fun to play. I don't know. I like the idea of these kind of fast-paced arcade shooters. I don't mind Call of Duty multiplayer, but I just don't like spending money every year on that. And I know early next year you're going to get a Counter-Strike game and this game, which is sounding pretty good, both on the arcade, which I feel like is a good place for them. Just like 1943, it's a throwaway shooter. That's all it is. It's a multiplayer shooter. That's all it's there for, and I like that.
I mean, I do have to ask one more question. I really can't tell if this game is... It looks like it's trying to be funny, like it's trying to be like a comedic type of game, but I can't tell if it's really laughing with Batman or with comic books or if it's laughing at them, like using them as a joke or a template to
I think it definitely
make a shooter.
Parodies on that. Yeah, it parodies on that just because it has so many type gadgets and stuff like that. I don't know.
All right, Chris, thanks for hopping on here and letting us know about it. Glad I got to hear about it.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Not a problem.
All right, so that does it for the news. A little taste of Batman there, but now we're diving in. We are 5 days away. The first game, and I will be honest, I am legitimately super excited for this holiday. Arkham City, Andrew, it's coming out. Talk to me about it.
All right, let's dig into a big pile of bat shit.
Oh, yeah. Coming out here close. I think our waiting days are almost over. We are extremely excited that the promised land is almost upon us.
Chomping at the bit.
I think I'd like to begin with an overview on this, kind of get into what Arkham City is all about. I mean, in terms of the whole game, I think Arkham Asylum was very claustrophobic. It was very linear, very room-oriented and hallway-oriented, and you were sort of brought into your situation type of deal. Mm-hmm. And I think Arkham City is going to be a lot more liberating on you. And I think that's the perfect thing for a Batman game. It's just the idea that you can, it's going to be a skyline type of game. You're going to be able to swoop down into whatever you want. You're going to be able to choose to do whatever you want. And you're going to be able to fight whoever you really want to. You see this group of guys here, you can just swoop in and take them out if you want.
And I think it's a great, because that's the way the Batman game should be. Not to say Arkham Asylum wasn't amazing, but this is perfect. I like how they flipped it on its head. Just like you said, it's really claustrophobic, kind of small walls drawn in, which is perfect for that game because it's kind of a bit psychological with the whole asylum aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, when you think Batman, you think going on rooftops, you know, that silhouette against the night sky, just the bat. And this is perfect. And I always wondered, Gotham City's big. How would they make a game like this when like a small kind of setting worked really well for Arkham Asylum? And cornering off this kind of district of Gotham for Arkham City is actually a pretty damn good idea to make this work. And you don't need the Batmobile or the Batwing. You're just gliding, which looks awesome. I think it's a perfect compromise. And I like the direction they're going. I think it's a perfect, obviously I haven't had my hands up, but I feel like it's the perfect way to make you feel like you're Batman, even better than Arkham Asylum was.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think that with Arkham Asylum, any enemies that you had were very drawn to the story. It was really, you only saw a handful of people there because that's the only people that could really go with what was happening in Arkham Asylum. And yet, I remember before I actually got the game, I thought Arkham Asylum is a perfect opportunity to show off a lot of these villains that are in the Batman universe.
Exactly, because where else would they be other than Arkham?
Where else would they be but then sitting in a cell and, you know, in the loony bin? And I remember that was when I was very disappointed that they weren't going full out on this. I think with Arkham City, they're going to actually delve a lot more into this. They're not just going to show people who have to be there. They're going to go a bit more out on you, and they're going to show people that they can put there. They're going to show you who they know in the Batman universe, and they're going to add them in there. They're going to make ways to get other villains inside this game.
And just to kind of hammer out this overview, I think that's a good point, because maybe it, I know there's, you know, the big breakout is what Arkham Asylum was about, you know, Joker breaking out and busting other people out. But this whole idea, and correct me if I'm wrong, was, you know, Hugo Strange, this is his thing, Arkham City, and the idea was, his idea was at least, you put all these people and there was somewhat free reign, and they're just basically going to tear themselves apart. They're not really in jail so much to speak as they're just kind of out and about, and I feel like everybody gets to have their own little scheme now, and every little personality of said character that's in there, I believe, will show, and I think it's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I have heard there have been a couple of reviews out for this game. I've been hearing that it's been getting extremely high ratings on the few. Now, this is a handful that's been out so far. So it's only been about four or five. But so far, there's been nothing really bad said about the game.
Yeah, absolutely glowing. I believe Game Informer gave it a 10. I know that. And, I mean, a couple of reviews gave it 97s, which is, you know, out of 100. That's crazy. Lowest one I've seen is a 92, which is certainly nothing to bat your eyes at. Get it? Bat your eyes.
Oh, yeah. Boom. Oh, I get it. He's a Batman.
I'm a regular Joker. Oh, he's on a roll. But that's high praise. And I know even one of them quoted to say, not just best Batman game ever, but one of the best games ever. And that's really high praise.
Makes me want the game now. Really bad.
We record this on a Wednesday. I probably won't have it done till Friday. And I assume by the time that's published, a lot more reviews will be out, and I don't expect anything other than, you know, really good reviews, 8 to 10 all the way around. It seems, you know, you always have the feeling about a game, and this one doesn't seem to betray those feelings. It looks quite amazing, and apparently it is. So there's just kind of a quick overview. Opinion, I mean, we're both kind of bat freaks, so I don't know what to say, but how about just some opinions on what they've shown you so far, and then, Andrew, give me something that you want to see that maybe we haven't seen.
I like them showing off Catwoman as a playable character. I think she's going to be a lot more agile than Batman was. And so if you wanted to be a lot more quick, if you didn't want to just worry about beating the crap out of these guys, and if you wanted to be a bit more stylish, you could pick Catwoman. I like that.
I know you're not a huge fan of the whole Batman-Catwoman relationship, but that's something I like in the sense of, I don't know if Robin or Nightwing are going to be in the game, but I think that'd be something cool, too, is you have the kind of sexual tension with Batman and Catwoman. And then, or, you know, Robin, you have the kind of mentoring, I guess you say. But, you know, Nightwing is kind of the mutual respect for each other, kind of man to man. And
two men who, they've grown into their own. They're big superheroes.
I love Batman at his just most classic and the vengeance. You know, I like him like that. But at the same time, I always thought the cool part about Batman, he is just a person. And that's the good way to get inside. Kind of, like I said, we don't have to play as Bruce Wayne, because I think that's one of the benefits of these games is they take place one night, and as much as, you know, Bruce Wayne's an interesting character too, it is Batman at its purest. There's not going on dates with Selina Kyle. There's none of that. It's just Batman. But at the same time, it's a good way to show his relationship with not just people as in the characters like Catwoman, Nightwing, but Dick Grayson and Selina Kyle. I don't know how they're going to do it, but from as I've seen, I like it. Much as Batman is about beating the shit out of people, there's a story to it and all, and I enjoy it.
Is there anything you really want to see in the game?
All I want to see is if they're going to do all these villains, I'd like to see them all done right. I don't want to see anybody that I feel like they put in there just to say, well, let's just put Scarecrow in there. Just because. I think we both agree, I didn't in Arkham Asylum like these Scarecrow platforming parts, but the whole mindfuck stuff I enjoyed. And if you're not going to take the time to give him a segment like that, don't just put him in there to say, oh, yeah, Scarecrow's in there. I don't feel like I've seen anything that shows that yet. Everything looks like it has a lot of care. But I agree with you that I think villains there should have been more villains in Arkham Asylum. But I don't feel like they should put more in here just to put more in. Give him the same love you gave the Joker in the first one. I thought they did that really well. And I thought that was one of the reasons Arkham Asylum was so good was the Joker. I feel like that's in good hands. What about you? Something you haven't seen that you're wanting to see?
Personally, I want to see a lot more homage to the comic books. And What I mean by that is I'd like to see maybe, I think Paul Dini was good at it, but I'd like to see little excerpts maybe from the actual comic, maybe little mentions to graphic novels that were put out or major events that happened in the Batman universe. Maybe mention there's the Batman Incorporated. Mention something like, just give a quick funny mention to it, but just to show that you read comics, just to show that you know the storylines. I'd like to see a bit more of that in there.
And I thought, you made a good point, though, last night. And I noticed when I was reading, I read that Mad Love not too long ago. And one of Harley Quinn's interview tapes, it's literally the dialogue out of the comic when you hear her actually, you know, becoming that and breaking the Joker out. I thought that was neat. And that, stuff like that, I'd like to see that, too, especially someone who's starting to read more of the comics. So what do you think about this DLC? Because I believe someone's been leaked. You can highlight it first, but I want to know what you think about it after you're done.
I think with all the DLC, they've talked about Catwoman officially being DLC in terms of the game, where if you want to play as Catwoman in any of the challenge modes, or I think there's 4 in-game missions that you can play as that don't have to do with the main storyline, you have to get a code to download her. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't like that. I think that's a money grabber.
Well, it comes with every new copy of the game comes with it, so.
Yeah, it's also just trying to get money off of pre-orders. Now, for people who buy it later on in the year, honestly, I got to think that's been a big trend in the game industry now on how game companies can get money off of pre-owned games.
Yeah, that is a bit alarming now you mentioned it, because it seems like they cut content from the game and they're going to make you buy it, which I don't have a problem if it's something like the Cerberus Network for Mass Effect 2, whereas you get some extra stuff and. Yeah, it was done, but it wasn't necessarily cut. It was extra stuff, even though it was day one. It felt extra. I mean, it probably could have been in the game, but it just felt extra. It just feels like, we can cut this and make some money maybe, so just do that. I don't know.
Yeah, but honestly, I think the enemy here that these game developers are seeing is the GameStops and the EB Games and all that, who are selling these pre-owned games and, you know, making all the profit, and yet the ways they're going about to get around that is hurting nothing but the gamers.
Yeah.
But also, I think that does touch on the same thing with Nightwing. I know he's going to be DLC.
November 1st. Nightwing pack. I got a little something to say about that.
But honestly, I think with Nightwing, I think he was actually going to be in the game. Like, they were going to have him on the disc.
I hope he is.
And like I said, I don't know if he's actually going to be there when you play it. But I think him being a playable character and these maps that he has, it sounds like they already had him done in the same time they were doing this game.
Yeah.
And they decided to keep him out so that they could use him as DLC later.
And let me go ahead and say this, and I'm just, I have no problem with that. I'm not one of those people that hate DLC. I have no problem with day one DLC because that's what it is. It's downloadable content. It's optional. If this was the Adventures of Batman and Nightwing and you have to pay for Nightwing, then that's a problem. But if this is just a character you can play on and you get some extra maps, for a Batman freak like one of us, I will have no problem. Now, we'll get to the price, but it's extra. I like that. Mass Effect 2, I keep going back to that, but they had costume packs. When I bought it, one of them, the first one, just so I could fix Garrus's armor because it bothered me. Just because I'm a big fan. I have no problem doing that. If somebody wants to spend extra, let them. Here's the problem I have. Nightwing, good. Robin, not good. The date, the 22nd. As much as I love Batman, I'm not one to squeeze blood from a stone here. And who's to say I'm not, you know, it's so big I might be playing until November 22nd, but I don't think I will. So I say if you got Robin done, they do, since, you know, if you pre-order for Best Buy, you get him. They got Nightwing done. I mean, it's a week or two later. He's done. These skins are done because their pre-order bonus is everywhere. Put it all out day one and let me buy what I want, which will probably be everything. But still, I have the choice. Everybody should have the choice. November 22nd, if I'm completely done with the game, I don't know if I would spend $7 just to play as Robin on 2 challenge maps. I don't know if he's that much fun. Will he be that much different? I don't know. Maybe. I think $7 is a bit steep, by the way. I'm thinking more like 5 or so for them. But that's beside the point. What do you think about that? I know you're the Bat Freak, and I know you'll get him. Or actually, you already get Robin, but I know you'll get him. But is that too long for you, or you think they did that right?
I do think it was way too long for Robin, or more specifically, the skins. I was extremely bewildered as to why they would bring...
December? I'm not sure.
December the 16th,
I want to say. Yeah, oh, wow. Jesus.
And that seems like... I'd always said, you guys have asked before, so when do you think all this DLC is coming out? I said, it'll be December, because I just thought they would all bring the whole thing out in December. People, they're going to have kids who are going to be wanting this game, and then, or when the kids get Microsoft points in their stockings, they can go out and buy some skins for it, and that gives a little bit extra money to Microsoft and Rocksteady. But, I mean, honestly, then to hear that they're bringing this Robin stuff in middle November, and then bringing out these skins in December, that's just, that seems very odd to me, because Robin is a complete playable character, and these skins,
they're nothing.
They're nothing. Yeah, they're exactly. They're probably, the skins aren't going to even cost as much altogether as the Robin DLC would be.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard, because it's kind of preying on the collector. Maybe not in so much me, I don't really care as much, but preying on the collector in you, I definitely know. Because you'll want these skins just to say, yeah, I have everything in Batman Arkham City, right?
Yep.
I have to ask you, realistically, let's say your favorite skin, well, you get the animated one, but the 1970s Batman, that one looks really cool. Mm-hmm. I ask you, and even if you're a huge fan, but even then, you have to get tired of the game. You know, just like me in Mass Effect 2, I know I'm saying that like a million times, but I'm tired of that game. And you got to ask, if you've played this game 5 times till December, will you play through Arkham City again just to have that costume while you're doing it? I don't know.
The way I would look at it is that it would not be an incentive to go and play the main story over again.
Exactly.
It'd be a little added thing to the challenge modes or something like that.
I'd hate
his counterparts.
I'd hate to spend all that money on it, because, like I said, okay, I love this year one skin. All right, I'll play a challenge, man. Okay, that was fun. I'll glide around Arkham City, but okay, well, I'm done. It's money well spent. It's not that I don't like the skins. It's, once again, something I think is lets you personalize, but, you know, year one, that's my favorite Batman story. I'd love to wear that suit, something like that. I like that, but put it out day one and let us use it while we're still super jazzed for the game.
True, and I still don't see why they're not. I like your idea of, if you pre-order here, you get this thing, get
for
this
free.
Pre-order bonus for free. Yeah, you don't have to pay anything for it. But if you want it, it's going to be there day one. You can download it, maybe even release it onto the marketplace the day before the game comes out. So if you truly know you're going to get that, you can have it downloaded and ready to actually use the second you get that game and the second you actually get to pop it into the Xbox, play it.
I mean, I just kind of consider it a bit unfair that Best Buy people get Robin as someone who's getting it from GameStop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for some people like us, we're going out. Yeah, there's not really a Best Buy in my backyard. It's not even feasible. All right, enough about all that. Do have to ask one final thing before we move to the mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit shocked about Arkham City. I mean, it sounds like a weird idea, but I think they've done it right. It's a great step from Arkham Asylum. But I have to ask, where are they going from here? What can you do after this?
I'd love to see another Batman game from Rocksteady like this, but I just hope it wouldn't be Arkham. I know they did. I think Sefton Hill said something about, if there's any more story to Arkham City, or if there's any more story to their Batman storylines, then they'll do another Arkham-type game. But I personally think that's not the way to go. I think Arkham City is really, it's your final one for that sort of storyline, and now they need to just sort of go into Gotham. Just make something else.
And as the bat expert, I'd have to ask you, if the next game we talked about, they should have, Arkham Asylum, it didn't have as many as you wanted, but it had a lot of villains. This game's had even more. How would you feel if the next game only revolved around Two-Face, say? Is that good or bad? A more centralized story, kind of like a graphic novel, is that good or bad? Would you be okay with that?
I think that would be bad, personally. I think with a graphic novel, you can really, really sat down, you could read the whole thing in an afternoon to get that. But with a game, you're continuously playing it and playing it, and so to hear Two-Face over and over and over and to see him constantly, you're going to want some kind of variety. And so I think the only way to get that is to branch out and go into other villains. That might be more of a personal thing, because I always love the whole comic intersecting type of deal.
Okay, hopefully that wasn't too long-winded for everybody. We might have got a little carried away. But if you're sick of Batman, you might want to skip ahead about 20 minutes, because more Batman.
Well, if you were sick of Batman, you shouldn't listen to the podcast in the first place.
A good point. The mailbag has become the Batman mailbag, because they're all Batman questions, and we got a few of them. So, Andrew, let's hop into the old mailbag.
All right.
Mailbag day! Mailbag day! Hey, everybody, it's mailbag day!
Okay, first couple of questions are from Bailey, and she asks, what is the one thing both of you are absolutely most excited for about Arkham City?
Personally, I think I'm most excited about the idea of a big city that Batman can fly around in And so it's, you know, with Arkham Asylum, you just kind of, if you wanted to boot it up and play it right now, the only thing you could really do would be to start the storyline over or to play the challenge maps. Mm-hmm. But with Arkham City, I think there's going to be a lot more replayability in the fact that you can just glide around anytime you want and just find people in the street, find thugs who are gathering around in the streets and just beat on them. Just kind of be Batman whenever you want to. You know, you never got to go through a certain storyline to do it, or you never got to boot up some certain thing or get a couple of minutes in a certain segment to do it. You can just be Batman gliding around, beating people up whenever you want. How about you?
I think above all else, there's tons of things I'm excited for. Above all else, though, I love the idea of the changes they're making to the combat. I mean, I know it's staying mostly the same, but you know I'm the connoisseur of the Batman combat, and there's tons of things that I'd change or make accessible. Ideas of stopping guns, stopping projectiles, stuff like that, and it sounds like every single one of those they've fixed. So I can't wait to get my hands on that. I feel like if they get that, I mean, it was so close to being perfect for the first time, I feel like this time it might be dead on.
All right, now flipping over to Bailey's second question, she asks, how many hours do you anticipate putting into this game?
I can't say specifically, because I don't know how long it is. The spin I get is, if you wanted to do everything, probably looking at about 50 hours. However long it takes, I don't think it's going to be that long, personally, which is not a big deal to me. I will put in as much as it takes for me to feel like I've done everything. That's what I'll say.
Personally, I'm going to say that if I go by the standard that they've said, you know, before the game's release, they've said 25 hours for the main story, and including side missions, it's going to be about 40. And I have a feeling that even if I do all this exploration, there's going to be things I'm going to miss. And so, you know, relatively not excluding, you know, flying around and just finding people and beating them up and just having a fun time sort of looking around, I'm thinking it's going to be about 35 hours. And that's including the side missions and all. And so 35 hours just going through the main story and doing the side missions that I find.
Challenges?
I got to say, that's a very wild card type of deal. I'm sure there are going to be challenges I'm going to love to play over again. And then there's going to be others that I'm going to hate to do. And I'm going to skip over them as much as I can. I remember that happened with Arkham Asylum. I really did not play the combat challenges because it's not that I didn't love them. I just couldn't do them. So I love to play the Predator. I would boot up and play a Predator right now if I wanted to. But, I think that's the same way it's going to be with Arkham City. It's going to be a lot of challenges, but there are going to be quite a few that I'm going to have to skip over.
Well, I guess for both of us, we give the standard Valve answer. It'll be done when it's done. All right. Thanks, Bailey. Going to another question from our own Super Afro Boy. He's got a good one that says, what other comic book heroes would you like to see in a game series of this caliber? Andrew, what did you want to see?
Personally, I'd like to see a Green Lantern, Green Arrow duo. They did that in the comics for a while, and I really like that. And I'd love to see a game of that caliber where you, maybe even like a co-op deal, where you have, you know,
co-op in a Rocksteady game? Nah.
Couldn't dream of it. But that'd be something. I always liked that sort of duo thing in the comic series, and so I'd love to see the two of them get a game version of that.
That'd be interesting, because that's they kind of had that whole series where they're kind of conflicting philosophies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Conservative. Old school versus new school. Yeah. That might be pretty fun. For me, I hated on it earlier. I think an X-Men game done right is a really good idea. And as much as I complain about the game not being able to play as the X-Men or, you know, some famous mutants, that wasn't really the problem with that game. I like the idea if you could create your own character or something, mutantize yourself if you wanted to. And because that's what I think is interesting. We're talking about, you know, conflicting opinions with Green Arrow and Green Lantern. It's very ambiguous in the X-Men. Who's right, Magneto, Professor X? I mean, it's where do you stand on that? And I think that's a great thing for choices in games, but I'd like to see it done right, as in Batman. I think Batman does everything about it right, and, you know, obviously I don't know if they can really do a game as good as you could Batman, because it fits so well into the game world, I think. But I guess if I could see a great game, it'd be X-Men. It would be the one I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm. I guess I can respect that. All right, now for question number 4, we've got that coming from Travis, and he asks, which is the best live-action Batman from the films?
For me, this is kind of tough because it's kind of like, who's the best James Bond? Well, I mean, they all have their merits. For me, it's Christian Bale, just because I feel like, A, he pulls off Bruce Wayne pretty good in the sense of, like I said, the whole point of Bruce Wayne is he's kind of playful in the sense of beating around the topic of Batman, and I think he has that billionaire attitude. He does it really well, which you don't really get to see Bruce Wayne do too often, and I think he does it good. And I know people make fun of the Batman voice, but I kind of like it. I think he's pretty good as Batman. I never really liked Michael Keaton. Val Kilmer's terrible. George Clooney, I don't think he would have been that bad of a Batman, but the movie is just so kind of over the top and silly, he just comes off as terrible too. But Val Kilmer's bad. Michael Keaton is good on both sides, but I think Christian Bale's the best, in my opinion.
Personally, I'm going to have to say, I think I might agree with you on the Christian Bale thing. I think he's probably the best Batman so far. And I think in terms of that gravelly voice, I know that's probably about the only thing people like to complain about him. You know, they get a little bit annoyed with that gravelly voice. But I think it actually works with the movie because it's supposed to be a bit more realistic.
Yeah.
And if, you know, he just went around talking in his normal voice, people would say, oh, I recognize that voice. It's Bruce Wayne. You know, what are you doing there?
Oh, crap. Oh, no.
So he's got to kind of keep a mystique to his voice too, so that people can't pick that up if they're going to make a realistic Batman movie. But I think, yeah, number two would have to be Michael Keaton. And I think he did it pretty well. Val Kilmer is terrible, but I think I hate George Clooney just as much. I think George Clooney didn't really bring anything to the Batman universe.
All right, hold on to your asses. We got five big questions for Jay. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
First up from our good old buddy. Do you think the astronomical amounts of pre-order DLC for this game is good or bad?
Astronomical? Ooh. Big words.
It's a good question, though. How do you feel about all this pre-order stuff? I know we hit on it a bit earlier, but how does it make you feel?
I think it is a good thing that they have a lot of pre-order DLC, that they're putting a lot into this game, but their execution was awful. I think the way they handled all of it was not very professional. I've said it before, they were sloppy on their marketing. They didn't know what they were doing in terms of their DLC. They tried to get really fancy, and they failed at that quite bad. And I'll put a mark against Rocksteady in terms of how they handle that DLC. Even though they added a lot to it, it was the wrong move in terms of the entirety of what happened.
I just feel like as an American, there's just not many choices for me. A lot of the stuff is foreign DLC, which I don't know. I don't like this just because I feel like you're missing out on some of the stuff you really want. I feel like it does alienate people, like he said. I said I'm a bit jealous of you getting to play as Robin. And everybody has the option to do so, but then you miss out on something else somewhere. I don't like pre-order DLC. I don't think anybody should be punished from where they purchased the game. I don't feel like I should entice people. I wish it was just everybody gets the same thing.
Or at least not something big like that. I mean, yeah. You know, it's... Even though it's just aesthetics, you know, even though it's just a sort of skin, it's really some cool skins. I mean, it's some cool things to see, and it adds to the game, you know, however small it adds. But, yeah, it adds to the game, and so that's something really big that you just kind of, you know, cut people out of.
And like I mentioned earlier, and we didn't touch on this, but Catwoman, she has different skins apparently in the game. I don't know if you download them, but I know there's an animated series when people say. So, I mean, what if somebody loved it? I mean, you could have an animated series for all of them, but you'd have to wait now, because if you didn't pre-order for GameStop, you can't get the Batman one.
That, or you'd have to get citizenship in these different countries.
Yeah, you'd really have to have some connections over the globe. And like I said earlier, it's just a skin, but it's kind of a personality thing. Once again, I'm talking about Catwoman has a skin, Long Halloween, a great graphic novel. Maybe that's your favorite. Maybe that's the way you want her to look. There's a year one. I think it looks cool. I love the year one graphic novel. I think that'd look cool. And it's just kind of a way to express yourself in something so deep as Batman. And nitpicking, but I just don't like the idea of alienating people because they bought the game from a different store. I hope to see if they made another Batman that they'd rectify that and just kind of have a map here. Like, I don't feel like I missed out on anything if I didn't have the Scarecrow Challenge map. It wasn't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm missing out on Robin. A whole month. You know, a whole month I can't play as him.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. All right, Jay's question numero dos. Who's got the Titan formula? Bane, Croc, or Scarecrow? Any guesses? I think I'm going to personally start with this one. I think the only thing that really works with that Titan formula is Bane. Since
it's the only one that we know is in the game.
It's the only one, the only person we know that's in the game, and the only one that really kind of, he's the only one that really would need it. Why would Croc need that formula, or why would Scarecrow need that formula? He's got his own, Scarecrow has his own fear gas. Croc, I mean, that son of a bitch is 7'9". I mean, the guy doesn't need the stuff. Bane is the only person that uses it, so he's the only one that needs it, so he's the only one that deserves it. And so any other way wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, I agree. That's a very logical conclusion. I don't know why they put those alternate endings in there. I wonder if they had something else planned that they kind of scrapped. Something was supposed to happen with that, and I don't know why they'd put that in there. To be honest, I've only seen Bane anyways. Every time I beat Arkham Asylum, it was always Bane, I believe. Or maybe it was Croc. I can't remember.
Yeah, me too. I think I got Bane, and then all of a sudden when I played it again, I got Scarecrow, and I was like, what? What's going on here?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, maybe they had something they had planned that they scrapped, because Bane's the only one that makes sense, because they have not said anything about Scarecrow or Croc.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe the Bane mission has something to do with those two. You never know.
Could be. Well, I think he's got more than one mission. Maybe he's got... all of them have to do with this.
Maybe you got
to
track them down. Maybe you got to keep them from getting it. Maybe Bane doesn't want them. Maybe he'll be... I don't know.
Could be. We'll have to see.
There you go. All you do is wait, and the wait is short. All right. Jay's third question. We touched on this a bit earlier, but he says, any thoughts as to where Rocksteady could take Batman after this?
I think they could take it into a Gotham City thing. I think with Arkham City, they held back a bit. Like, I think when they originally wanted to do it, they wanted to do a big Gotham City type of deal, a big open world, you know, Grand Theft Auto type of deal. But they had to pull back because it worked better. It gave it a lot more depth into what they could do by keeping it sort of centralized. But I think if they really try, and if they really work hard at it, and the game may take some time, but if they really work at it, they can do a big Gotham City deal. They can get past some things like people ask, why not use the Batmobile? Well, because then it would be a driving game. Then you would have Grand Theft Auto. So just... Don't even think about that kind of deal. Just Batman will glide around Gotham City and he doesn't use the Batmobile, because that would be harder to do, because then you just have a Grand Theft Auto game. And so just kind of get a Gotham game, but just take some time and effort and sort of think for a while as to how to do it and how to do it right.
We've talked about this, and I agree with that. I think if you made it Grand Theft, I think about Batman, and this might not make sense, but the camera's kind of drawn in kind of tight, and you kind of feel, it feels more personal. In Grand Theft Auto, you feel kind of small in this big city. And I'd hate to see that happen to Batman. I like the kind of personal touch it has. But I feel like if they wanted to make it more about Gotham City, corner off the city, make it small chunks, and just spend part of the story here, part of the story there. There's no, like I said, have a loading scene or loading screen of Batman driving the Batmobile or flying in the Batwing. Do something like that. We don't have to do that. It's not necessary. I think this gliding mechanic, although I haven't played the game, I think it's perfect for moving around in this game. And I hate to see him abandon that, because it can only get better, I think.
Okay, Jay's fourth question, and this, I'll read this word for word. God damn it, where is my co-op?
I believe that is a fine question, because once again, from the inception of this podcast, we've asked the question, why is there no co-op? Andrew, where is my co-op? Do you have any clue?
To be honest, I would say when they first started talking about this, when people were first asked, where's any multiplayer? Where's any co-op you might have? Got Catwoman there. What could we be doing? And they say, we're working on a single-player experience. I'd sort of say, yeah, sure you are. You know, we'll wait about a month when you finally reveal that there is co-op. And the more and more it got to it, the more like, well, they keep saying this. They're still sticking by that pretty strong. And so I think it really is. It's one of those things. It's just it's so simple as to their answer that I guess it's true. It was too simple to believe, but I guess it is true now. They just wanted to work on a single-player experience. They just kind of scrapped it from the beginning. They said, we thought about it, but we decided we're not going to do it.
Yeah, I agree. And they're right. I like them focus on the single-player experience, because that's what Batman's about. He's the only one that can go in there and do that. I get that. And that'll make the game better. I agree with that. But it's kind of like BioWare. Well, yeah, it wouldn't really make sense to have the main campaign co-op. I don't think they could make that work, and I'm glad they didn't try to. But there's not, you know, that didn't stop them from making a co-op mechanic, which we both agreed at the beginning of this sounds interesting. And I don't see why we couldn't have had some kind of mode with four playable characters we have now. Why couldn't we have had some kind of mode, challenge maps, where we just play co-op? I don't get it.
Yeah, I guess Rocksteady just kind of went with the whole package type of deal. Either they do it all out or they don't do it at all. And I guess that was their choice.
Well, fair enough. But like I said, just like the last question, the next game, I'm still fine with the single player being single player, but I feel like it's a great opportunity, especially for stealth missions, to have a combination of two players working with each other. All right, finally, to conclude the mailbag, we got a big one. Once again, Jay's fifth says, Arkham Asylum was a very centralized experience about the conflict between Batman and the Joker. The other villains kind of took a backseat to the Joker, and with so many villains occupying Arkham City, Could it be too much of a good thing? By having such a cast of large villains, do you think Rocksteady will give each proper care and attention? What do you think, Andrew? I know that a few reviews have touched on this negatively. Are you worried about this?
Not really. I think Rocksteady, they at least know about these different characters' personalities. They get what goes on. And so, yeah, you might have some moments where you're like, you wish you could do a bit more with this particular person, or you wish you could do a bit less with that particular person. But I think in terms of what you see of them and what the people are actually in there, they're going to have the right personalities and the right attitudes as to what that character is. So if you meet Poison Ivy, she's going to be talking about her plants. And so you're not going to get her helping Catwoman for no particular reason. She's going to have her own motives, and she's going to have her own things that fit well with the story. And I think Rocksteady will have the right personalities that you get to see with these people. And that's fine enough for me.
I'll agree. I don't think they're going to be done wrong. But I think, you know, like I said, a review mentioned that some people didn't get enough screen time, and I can see why, but I feel like it's going to be like a personal thing. If I was a Two-Face fan and the 12-minute footage, you literally see him for that long and Batman strings him up, that's it, which I don't think it's going to be. I'm just using that as an example. I feel a bit shortchanged. The bottom line is they can't. There's just not enough resources to have everybody have a huge experience like the Joker's going to have. It's not in the cards. But at the same time, not everybody's the biggest villain as the Joker. No one's more iconic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like everybody's going to have enough screen time, and it's going to be proportionate. The Joker should have more than Two-Face. I mean, I know Two-Face is very iconic too, but the Joker's the classic. I'd like to imagine that we'll be spending more time with Two-Face or Penguin or Poison Ivy than we would Ratcatcher or somebody small like that. All right. Thanks, everybody, for the Batman questions. I hope we answered them to your liking. That was a lot of fun. We'll do that again next time for Skyrim, I hope, but glad we could put a Batman spin on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was fun.
That being said, let's shift gears to something that's, I know, let's all sigh and cry. Not Batman, the Rapid Fire.
Oh, and by the way, the suit, it wasn't cheap. You ought to know, you bought it.
All right, Andrew, Rapid Fire time. Let's do it.
Hooray.
First up, Microsoft. We talked about it last week. They got a dashboard. The beta has started. I believe we both applied to it. You looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know we've been talking about this for a little while, and we're wondering why it's the actual dashboard update is coming out pretty soon and why they wait so long before a beta to test it. But I guess, you know, it's finally out. We'll get to see in the next 2 weeks, but it's going to be cutting it close on this.
Well, I think one thing is we mentioned it was supposed to be on the 15th, the anniversary of Xbox, same day as Halo. We said that last podcast, but I believe another thing I said the 25th, so they haven't confirmed which is right, but it'll be sometime mid to late November. I like to get my hands on it. I hope you get to use YouTube, because that was one of the things they talked about that I actually thought would be kind of fun. I have a lot of fun at looking up YouTube videos, and I know that sounds simple, but I got a computer for browsing the web. I know people want a web browser on Xbox. I don't need to do that, but YouTube would be a great addition. Next. Uncharted 3, another game we talked a bit about last week. Some gameplay footage came out. Did you get to see this, Andrew?
Yeah, I got to see it.
What'd you think of it?
It was fine. Uncharted, I like the idea of the whole thing. A little bit comical, Indiana Jones style. It's not just a character here that's going to doing this thing from a script, but it's more, he's got some personality to him. I always thought it looks nice, Uncharted. It looks nice on the surface, but when you actually kind of delve into it, I haven't been a big fan of how they do things. I look at it and I say, yeah, it's nice. It looks like it'll be fun to watch, but when you actually put the controller in your hand, I find so many problems personally with it that,
wow, what a shame. Your loss. I'd recommend playing Uncharted 2. It's a really good game. I'm looking forward to this, and you touched on that, and a huge Indiana Jones fan than I am. I was kind of hesitant to play it because I kind of thought it was going to be imitating, which it kind of is, but it comes off more flattery than just straight-up imitation. It's a new-age Indiana Jones, and no one can ever beat old Harrison Ford, but he does a pretty good job. I enjoy the games. I want to play this one. Next. Ooh, on to some foreboding topics. Modern Warfare 3, a trailer came out. I believe it debuted on Sunday Night Football. Yeah. Andrew, did you get to see this?
Oh, yeah. I caught it during the game. I was a bit shocked that it actually came on. For a second, it looked exactly like Modern Warfare 2.
Really? I'm shocked.
I didn't know what was going on until I finally realized, like, oh, wait, that's the, what's his name? That's, you know, Captain Price right there. Oh, this is Modern Warfare 3. What can you say about it that hadn't already been said? It looks like any other shooter. From looking at that trailer, it looks like they're just kind of, they're doing the same thing that World at War did, where the game before them was so successful that they just copied it. And so you see that Modern Warfare 2 was just so successful that the guys coming after that are scared about making anything different. So they're just making the exact same game with a new number.
I think Travis said it best. All I'm going to say is Travis asked me if I saw it, and he said for the first 30 seconds of the minute-long commercial, he actually thought it was Battlefield 3. Enough said. Next. Other news, there's a new Wii bundle coming out, and it has no GameCube support. Andrew, what do you think about this?
I'm a bit sad to hear that. I feel when I know PlayStation 3 did that with PlayStation 2 and 1 stuff. I feel when some game system does that, I feel shortchanged. It should at least support the one system before it. It should at least have that. And to go more is to do, you know, do a service to the gamer, but to not to take that out is just shortchanging, and it shouldn't be done at all.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. I guess they're just trying to move a few before the Wii U comes out, because the Wii is dead. We got Zelda, and I think that'll be it for that thing. Next. Gears of War 3. It's getting its first DLC on November 1st. It's called the Horde Command DLC. A lot of Horde stuff, a few new characters. Andrew, does this tickle your fancy?
No, not really. I think that Horde Command DLC sort of looks like... I think it actually was probably going to be in the game originally, but they took it out.
I'm actually pretty sure it's on the disc.
Yeah, because honestly, I know at least a couple, if not all, the characters that you can use in that DLC, like, are already in there. They're just not playable.
Yeah, but people have been able to select them. We played with someone playing as one of the night.
Oh yeah.
It's there.
And I don't know why they do. I guess, you know, in the end, it's all money. Money, publicity, you get to talk about your game a bit more even after it comes out. But that's just, if you know anything about games, and you look into any of that kind of stuff, you'll see it from a mile away. And so they're just getting getting the stupid people on this one.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, because it's just like we talk about Batman. They did the exact same thing with every bit of DLC they're talking about. And I don't have a problem with it. I don't want it. That's the great part about it. I do want the Batman DLC, so I should be able to buy it a week or two after the game comes out. See, but... I think the different thing is Gears of War is a multiplayer game. So if I wanted it, which I don't, I'd buy it. Batman, if it's day one DLC, fine. If not, whatever. I just feel like I like you have a choice to buying it, but November's still pretty far away. They need to get these DLC windows tighter, because people will lose interest in your games, believe it or not. Next. Dead Rising 2, off the record. That came out, I believe, yesterday. Andrew, have any plans of ever playing this game?
It would have to be a... very long dry spell for me to actually want to even game fly that game, because honestly, it's just, I feel Dead Rising 2 is done. I played Dead Rising 2 and I got into that, and then it was over, and it was over for quite a while. And so to try to even breathe some life into that title, I think it's just, it's ridiculous. And I mean just go with Dead Rising 3. That's all I could say to Capcom. You made a stupid move there with Off the Record. They should have put a little more care into another big title and not just make a $40 game that improves some problems. It's almost like a overpriced patch.
Yeah, that's what Capcom does, and I believe the sad part is what they're good at doing. If you like any of these games, I'm at least interested in it, because I always thought Frank was a lot better character. Ultimate Marvel's Capcom, I can't buy it on principle, but it's just like, wow, there's a lot of good changes. Super Street Fighter 4, one of the best updates ever, but if you bought the first one, why would you buy that one? It's just teasing you. I hate how they do this. It really makes me angry, but I guess it's a sound business model. I do want to play it, but I'll probably play it, like you said, in a dry spell, maybe next year or something. Next. Here's a game I've actually not heard too much about in a while. It seems like it's coming out not too long from now. Assassin's Creed Revelations, Andrew. Anything you got to say about this?
Well, honestly, I'll be conflicted if I want to play it. I like the Assassin's Creed games. I thought they were good. You know, I played all of them up to Revelations before it comes out. But it's just, why do they keep harping on this Ezio thing? Move on, please. I am bored to death by this Italian Renaissance time period now, and I just want to get on to something different. I think Ubisoft can do it. I think they're pretty good at putting you into the time period that they want you to be in, but just kind of, come on, guys, you know, you're beating a dead horse here. Let's get a move on. Let's get something new going here.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I feel like it's just like you were talking about with Dead Rising 2. It's an overpriced patch, because this feels like just another little Ezio story that they didn't have time to tell in the last one. It's just another multiplayer thing, just improves. I didn't like Brotherhood single player. I like the multiplayer. I'd like to try it, but certainly not going to buy this game. Once again, maybe a game fly on down the road. Next. Finally on the rapid fire list, Dragon Age 2. They actually released more DLC, Mark of the Assassin. Andrew, do you have any interest in ever playing that game or this DLC?
From what I know, I think that DLC is... just like the last one, it's in the game. Like, you can play it really kind of anytime you want.
Yep.
But I think their problem was, I don't think they realized that their ending was awful. I mean, their ending
was... Oh, my God, it was.
It was horrible. And what they need to do an Alan Wake type of deal where they expand upon that ending so that it can go down a little bit easier. If they bring out some DLC that works on that ending that sort of extends it a bit to make it a bit better, then I'll have a bit more faith in Dragon Age 2, or at least going into Dragon Age 3.
It's actually a really good point. I'd be very interested to play a DLC that furthered that game, because I didn't think it was a bad game, but yeah, it ended terribly. So I kind of feel like, don't waste my time with DLC. Either give me something like you said, or how about, I don't know, make Dragon Age 3 and make it worth my time? And with that, I believe that will do it for the rapid fire.
Hooray!
Wow, this has been quite a trek, my friend. But I think to say the Batman podcast is done.
Goody.
Anybody that listened, I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to anybody that sent questions. Andrew, I gotta tell you, man, next time we'll be doing one of these, we'll have played Arkham City. Does that make you feel pretty good?
It makes me feel great.
Feels like it's been a long time coming, but like I said, I know we've had some pretty big games, Gears, Deus Ex, but this is the first blockbuster for me. I cannot wait.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think it's been quite a wait, but it's almost here.
From what I've seen, it's gonna be well worth it. All right, definitely look for us probably the November the 8th, sometime around then. Definitely look for a big Skyrim episode. I'd like to get anybody involved that wants to be. Thanks again for listening. We enjoy doing these. We hope you like listening to them. Any comments, quality, format, anything, just leave them in the thread. And we will see you in a few weeks.
Bye, guys.
I wouldn't say that it feels like a Batman game, but it really definitely has the feel of a Batman type game. That doesn't.
Okay, wow. I'll cut that last little part.
I thought you were about to say it definitely isn't a Batman game, but it is like a Batman game.
It was all a lie. There's nothing wrong with you.
Nice of you to say, but you of all people should know there's plenty wrong with me.